On episode 555 of Android App Addicts, Dor brings a dope phone, Ivor goes hyperbolic, and Josh feels inadequate about his apps.
Hey, Podnutians, welcome to Android App Addicts, episode 555. And if you're at all OCD, 555 should like tingle you in some weird way. This show is brought to you by Sasha N. Thank you for being a very long-time Patreon supporter, started back in February of 2016 and still an active Patreon. Thank you very much, Sasha, for your support. And we are joined also from having more support from New Zealand and from Canada. Hey, how's everything going, Ivor?
Going well. You may have seen in the news, we had a little volcanic eruption at the weekend. Quite a few people died. Most of them were Aussies, though, so I won't say anything about that. It seems to be quite big in the news. The Prime Minister's here. The army, in case you haven't been keeping up with the story, the army came and recovered the bodies from White Island today. So that's a bit of good news for the families.
Yeah, two of them were American, two brothers who were on vacation there. I know when they went on the island to recover the bodies, they literally had to go in like full suits, hazmat suits, yep. Because the noxious fumes coming out of the volcano are, you know, noxious.
But poisonous.
Yeah. What I didn't realize was it was literally a privately owned island.
Yes, yeah. Normally, the government, the Department of Conservation, would own these things, but this is a private island, and I believe that our Geological and Nuclear Services Agency, which keeps an eye on earthquake issues and risks, said that they had put the risk up to a level 2 out of 5. But this, as volcanoes do, they just take you from behind, and you never know when they're going to blow. So
right. You're right, out of the blue. I'm happy just one of us had to deal with volcanoes this week.
But it's nowhere near me, although I have got a volcano that's long thought extinct about a couple hundred kilometers to the west of me.
I hope it is. Here's the thing. I know the ring of activity.
Ring of fire.
It goes down by New Zealand. I'm happy it's at least not active, is the way I'll put it. So, Josh, is there anything active by you?
No, definitely not. Just the kid who is upstairs crying now, but I think that they are watching this live upstairs on the TV as well. So, hi, Solomon.
Solomon, that's a very good name.
Thank you. I remember when I was a wee tot at the time, but when Mount St. Helens erupted in Washington State, and we were... only, 100 miles north, 150 miles north of that. And it was snowing and everything ended up with a layer of ash on it.
Yeah. I'm happy I live in amongst the least amount of natural disaster area in the United States that at least I know of, to where, once in a while we have like remnants of a hurricane. Once in a while, some lawn furniture gets knocked over by a tornado. We have had like an earthquake, but it's sort of like, hundreds of miles away, and we just feel the ripples, and that's about it. I really don't want I can't. There's no way I could live knowing right around the corner is something that could really go horribly bad.
Yes, you don't have many natural disasters, but you're sort of in the epicenter of social disaster. So.
That's what I was going to say. Our natural disasters are like government.
Yeah, I've been in several earthquakes, a couple of them pretty large, one in Hawaii and one in Alaska. And yeah, it's not very pleasant.
Yeah, we have them here every week. You get used to them.
I'm happy you do.
Are you sure that's not a sheep stampede?
Well, and I will say it's been nearly a month since we did a show, and I will say I have had a cold, and with a cold, it's quote-unquote difficult to talk, first world problems. It's difficult to talk with a cold, but then the cold developed into bronchitis, and then the bronchitis developed into pneumonia, and then with the pneumonia, It's just, you know, it's kind of hard to talk when you can't stop coughing. So I was at least absent for over 10 days to where I couldn't really do much of anything. So that's my excuse. So I will thank everyone for their patience and not complaining about the absence of shows. With that stated, every week I post a Patreon thing to the $5 supporters and greater of all the quote-unquote links in the queue. And I'm pretty sure this week's links totaled, I want to say, more than 35 deep. It was kind of insane.
So those are people who've still donated regardless of whether we had a show or not?
Well, I do not do Patreons based upon show. All right. And here's the reason being. I want everyone who is a Patreon supporter to explicitly know exactly how much every month they're going to be given. Where if I do it by show, well, then some months it's going to be 2 donations. Some months it's going to be 3 donations. Some months it's going to be 4 donations. I like to know how much like my cable bill is going to be, my TV bill is going to be, my Patreon bill is going to be. So I do it just for the month, regardless of the amount of content or postings. So I think that's the most like fair way to do it for people. Because if they want to donate more, they can donate more.
Well, as long as we get paid the same.
Oh, you do. And I will say, at least a third of the links in that Patreon posting are like very time sensitive. And I will say Sunday night, 9 p.m. New York Eastern time, that posting that I do to the Patreon 5+ people does become publicly accessible. So we stream Thursday night, 9 p.m. New York time, where I post that link. And then if you wait till Sunday night, the time the show goes live in the RSS feed, we also have that link going live as well. So if you want to partake in like all the possible links that could have been on the show, you can go there and check it out on patreon.com/androidappaddicts.
Of course, one advantage of having so much time in between shows is that you get a whole month where you don't have to put up with Josh's sheep jokes.
That's what Voxer's for.
Oh, and Voxer, I will say this. It is one of the most flakiest things I've used in my life. And when it doesn't work, you want to shoot somebody really like viciously. For 2+ months, Bluetooth audio was not working correctly in Voxer to where you could only listen to your audio from your player of like podcasts or music or Voxer. You couldn't do both at the same time without going into the settings every time finagling. Today, December 12th, we got an update and it looks like they finally fixed it to where you can listen to Voxer Bluetooth audio and podcast Bluetooth audio and not have to change settings every time you open the app. So sanity was restored at least a little bit.
So are you talking about having the Voxer messages play over the podcast if you're listening to it?
For the last 2 months, if you had Bluetooth audio enabled and you were listening to podcast or music via Bluetooth, and then you open up Voxer and hit play, it would never come over Bluetooth.
Oh, okay. Right.
And then if you would go into Voxer and say enable Bluetooth, then none of your audio from your external players or podcast players would come over Bluetooth. It literally made no sense.
Yes, I knew that was happening, but I didn't even know that there was Bluetooth on Voxer.
Right. Well, today it should all be fixed. I will say there has been, quote unquote, in air quotes, and I say that because it's really not, news in the Google Android front. One of the most, public-facing news articles was just that Larry and Sergey now officially are stepping down, and Satya, head of Google, is now the head of Alphabet in its entirety. As far as I'm concerned, nothing's going to change. As far as consumers are concerned, nothing is going to change. This is the guy that spearheaded Chrome OS. This is the guy that literally was on stage holding up the first CR48, pushing it into people's faces. So Chrome OS is not going anywhere. Chrome OS is only going to get more substantial, more impactful. Android is not going anywhere. The amount of money it's bringing in, the amount of clicks it's bringing in, the amount of eyeballs it's bringing in, nothing is going to change anytime soon. Right now, they need to just remain stable. So don't expect anything really impactful or substantive happening for at least 8 to 10 months with Google. They just want to maintain the ship, maintain profits for right now.
Easier at night, that's for sure. As long as they're getting their profits, I'm happy.
Yeah, I was getting worried about that. Bloody, you know.
Well, you know, somebody has to be making profits, and, you know, Facebook and Amazon can only make so much, and Microsoft can only make so much.
And it's not me.
It's not me either. I will say the lighthearted news articles is Samsung reported today, December 12th, they have sold 1 million Galaxy Folds, which I find amazing.
Wow.
But they said they've sold 1 million of them. We're less than, I think, 30 days away from the Motorola Razr clamshell flip phone from being released. And they're already talking about the Razr 2 coming out being at least a third to 50% less in price kind of thing. So I hate to say it, but we're almost at the point of time in the year where it's time to do a retrospective of what was impactful this past year, what was important this last year, what did we not see coming this past year, and what do we see coming in the next 12 months?
Yeah, I was looking back through some of last year's podcast when we still had Eric, and you guys are doing your set of predictions for 2019. One thing you guys didn't predict was the sudden development of folding phones, along with the absolute eruption of wrist tablets that are going to happen before the end of next year.
Well, I swore folding phones were more than a year away. I swore it would take at least another 12 to 18 months for them to really become real.
Well, yeah.
So I like underestimated that.
Yeah, and
like a lot.
I think we're going to see a lot more folding phones in 2020.
Well, the one link I'll share, which I find absolutely, I don't want to say hysterical because, you know, it's disturbing almost, is Pablo Escobar, okay, brother of the drug kingpin, releases a quote-unquote foldable phone, and he has Apple in his sights, okay? First off, this is not his foldable phone. He literally bought a lot of somebody else's foldable phones and put his logo on it, kind of thing.
The Flex Pi or something, wasn't it, originally?
Yeah. Thank you, yes. Yeah. Exactly, yeah. So he has done nothing. He has came out with nothing. He has invented nothing. He is a investor, is the best way to put it. But he believes that this kind of technology is, like, the future. I'll say this. This phone is going nowhere. This phone is not going to sell really any. Maybe he's going to get some headlines. Maybe he's going to get some attention. But I don't see this even selling 1,000.
I don't know about that, Dor. I have it on good authority that each of these phones comes with a free kilo of cocaine. They're going to go off in California, mate.
I don't know if cocaine's very hip anymore. I would say that.
Poor hair on
the Pablo Escobar Fold One. So great.
Yeah,
so
snort great. One.
And if you look at the video on the page, they make it a very deliberate video where they're not showing you the size of the crease and the size of the fold of this device, because I'm pretty sure it's like nearly a half an inch like fold. It's like ridiculous to where if you put it in your pocket and anything pressures your pocket at all, it is going to take damage.
But in all seriousness, though, apart from this Escobar phone, the reason we're going to be seeing a lot more of folding phones is that now gives phone companies a reason to charge more than $1,000 for a handset. Previously, you could get away with a really highly spec'd flagship, but they were pushing the $1,000 limit. People really start to stop and think as soon as you hit that $1,000. Now they say, oh, but you've got a folding phone. We can charge a lot more than $1,000 for it. And people say, oh, yeah, okay, that's fine. And they buy it on their plan and they pay it off over 3 years through the nostril at exorbitant rates, and they carry on the merry way.
Yeah, I mean, I do think they will do anything in their power to charge as much money as they possibly can.
Yeah, well,
it doesn't matter if it's biometric technology, folding technology, or whatever. It doesn't matter. Anything to charge more money is what they will do. I will say this. I'm not going to say folding technology is like the VR of 2020 to where it's going to be an extreme bust. What I will say is I don't think what we're seeing is how it's going to end up in the end of 2020. I think it's going to be a little bit different. I'm not going to say it's a watch, but I will say I don't think that what we're seeing is how it's going to be successful in the end of 2020. I think it's just like what we're seeing is like one possibility.
Well, I think that phone's dope.
Oh, it's definitely dope.
The Escobar phone?
Yeah, and the other link I wanted to share just, and it comes with a caveat, and the caveat is, secretly, I will say this to everybody out loud. I have plain, obvious passions that I wear on my chest that there's no arguing, there's no discounting. I love mobile, pocketable technology. I love free, open source Libra technology. I also love dynamic technology where it's scalable in different ways. And this is an example of one of the things that really caught my attention. The Pine Phone Braveheart Edition is what they call it, which is the developer edition, just went open for sale about 2 weeks ago. They believe it's going to ship, I believe, in less than a month from now. And the long and the short of it is, this is a true, in quotes, Linux phone. It's open as you can get, running Linux on hardware that truly resembles a phone. Now, the phone might resemble something from 2 years ago, but it resembles a phone for $150, not $400, not $800, not $1,300, not $2,000, but $150. I have no problem, like, you know, going out on a limb and saying this phone is to phones what Raspberry Pi is to single board computing 4 years ago. I truly believe in 2 to 3 years, this phone is literally going to be the hacker's paradise, where anybody who wants more than what you can get on an iOS device, more than what you can get on an Android device, you'll be able to get with this. But there'll be certain things that it's just too complicated to do that are very easy to do on an iOS or an Android type device. So it's literally just going to draw in the hackers.
Is this a special version of Linux that operates on a mobile system or on mobile hardware, or is it just regular everyday Linux?
It depends on how you describe your definitions of what you just said. What I'll say is this. It's just an ARM processor. With that stated, there's already 100 plus single board computers that are out there that are ARM-based computers. It's just running a desktop Linux that's optimized for this form factor of screen. So the Linux itself is just normal. The desktop itself is slightly tweaked. It's running a KDE Plasma desktop. That's for the nerds out there. But most importantly, the desktop applications will need to have at least a little bit of rewriting to be truly usable on that form factor. But I will say things like the browser, Firefox, will be unbelievably seamless from day one to any other smart
device. So will the browser be able to use all the extensions and stuff that you can use on a desktop at the moment?
It will be exactly like using Linux on your desktop. Wow. When it comes to the browser.
Yeah. Oh, that's really cool.
Yeah, and the link in the show, unfortunately, they like to show extremes is what I'm going to say, and they're showing desktop GIMP running on a phone, which no one will ever do, and no one would ever want to do. But it's showing you that basically this is nothing more than a desktop operating system, a desktop kernel, a desktop interface, being able to be ran on a pocketable form factor.
But then you could probably just plug it into an HDMI display through USB-C, and you've got a computer. Yep. You've got a proper desktop system.
Yes, yes. And I'll say this. If this is successful, if Linux smartphones are successful, again, they're not going to look like what this looks like, but this opens up the door for anybody, and this is the beauty of Linux, this opens up the door for anybody to develop anything they want for this device and then to share it with anybody that wants to access it. And with, dare I say, progressive web apps being as mature as they are now, I expect the idea of Steve Jobs' original idea of a non-app ecosystem on a mobile device might actually come to fruition.
Now, it's funny you should mention progressive web apps, because this is another prediction I think that you had last year, was that PWAs were going to become ubiquitous, I think was the word you used, or they were going to become much more popular and much more available. I'm not sure if you were right on that one.
I'm not.
Oh, good. You said it much more.
I'm not
diplomatically than I did.
And like, the example I use is Outlook. Just
Outlook
web app. Office 365 just turned Outlook into a progressive web app.
They're going to have to do that because they want to put it on their folding phone when it comes out in 2020. That's the only way they can get it to work.
And now on a Chromebook, you can install Outlook as a offlineable web application. So, yeah, they have a long way to go.
This is very intriguing, any sort of Linux phone, and especially the open hardware, because even the Raspberry Pi, some proprietary blobs, I believe, in the GPU. And so to have a completely open hardware phone to where anyone can hack at it, I mean, that should be the future.
Does it go on your wrist?
Well,
You know what else goes on your wrist? Handcuffs. I want to keep it up, buddy.
Keep me aware.
Yeah, and I will say, I don't remember if we talked about this or not. There will be a link to the Microsoft Progressive Web App thing in the notes as well. I don't know if we talked about this or not, but Huawei, United States, crappity, crappity, crap. You know, we like threatened Canada into making sure that they, arrested the daughter of the CEO, blah, 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 blah.
You're welcome.
Yeah, thank you. But also, when that happened, at the very same time, we started threatening embargoes, but we, the United States, we then gave them a 90-day waiver. And then at the end of the 90-day waiver, we gave them another 90-day waiver. And then at the end of that 90-day waiver, we gave them another 90-day waiver. So now it's literally over like 300 days worth of waivers that we've given. Even with that stated, Huawei has shown highest profit revenue generated since then. And the market for them has just keeps skyrocketing. Germany just announced that they're going to do their entire 5G infrastructure with Huawei. There's been now 3 audits of their code. No audit has shown any malicious anything with any of their code. I think it's only a matter of time where America and the first world is going to have to, dare I say, turn into a meme and adapt and overcome and not just try to hold people down.
Well, I think it's bigger, slightly bigger than that, Dor. I don't want to be hyperbolic, but I suspect that what we're seeing here is the actual splintering of Android. And we're seeing, we've just seen the Chinese government say only Chinese hardware to be used in government departments, only Chinese software, none of your foreign muck in here. Huawei, they should have had a deal by now to get Android back on their phone or to get the Google services back on their phones. They seem to be doing quite well without Google services, at least domestically. They're coming out with some pretty hot phones that people still like without Google services. So I think what we're seeing here is a permanent shift between Google services Android and Chinese Huawei Android. It's not gonna come back together.
I'm not going to say you're wrong. I will say China just started doing what we Americans have been doing for a while now, which is trying to tell people you can only use American-made, America first,
yeah,
America
fair
first.
Fair enough, too.
America first. Exactly. So that's what China said that we're going to start doing. China first. You need to make sure that everything is running China first. I can't blame them for that. In fact, if I was them, I would do the very same thing. I will say it's going to be difficult for them to be long-term successful with the app ecosystem without Google Play. With that stated, I know a huge percentage of people only install a very small number of applications. I don't know if people are going to be able to overcome those numbers. One link I wanted to make sure was in the note was to a Giz China article, and it's just to keep people aware. Okay, even if you love American football, you at least have to understand how much revenue Premier League soccer brings in. You need to understand how many people watch cricket. You need to understand all these other things, and you can still enjoy your American football, but you have to be aware, okay? You can go ahead and buy your Apple iPhone. You can go ahead and buy your Samsung Galaxy, whatever, but you have to be aware, okay? This article from Giz China has the top 5 best Chinese phones for under $100 November 2019. I will say there's at least 3 phones on this list where if my phone broke today, I would do everything in my power to try to get, because I truly believe they have an extremely high, what I call, bang-to-buck ratio. Even though they're $100, they literally perform like $400 phones.
What do you reckon, Josh?
I agree. I mean, I think that, well, yeah, why not? I mean, that Redmi 5, or no, sorry, Redmi 8A has a 5,000 mAh battery as well.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, I mean, these are really well-specced phones, and they're actually, I mean, they used to be crappy a few years ago, but now they're really good. They're actually worth considering, and they're cheap. And so it kind of just goes to show how much of a margin's being charged on the flagships, when really you're getting near flagships experience with much less money.
Yep, and like people who were in the American market like 10 years ago should remember television sets and Vizio. And Vizio was literally the garbage television set that no one would buy. But Vizio kept putting out product and kept tightening that margin and kept getting a little bit better quality, to where now you buy a Vizio TV and they're really not bad at all. Mm-hmm. That's what we're seeing happening with phones, where there's a ZTE Blade A7 device, which I have no problem saying looks pretty damn nice. Mm-hmm. Redmi has been around a while. They have really good devices. There's one that looks like something out of a Hollywood movie called a YulePhone Armor X5. And, you know, I just will tell you people this. If you shop around, if you do a little bit of investigation, you can get a premier experience with an Android device on most networks, except for Verizon in the U.S., and pay less than $200 or $240.
Actually, this segues well into an app I was going to bring. Could I show it to you now? I'll just show you. I'll share my screen with you. Sorry. Okay. So this app is called KIMOVIL, KIMOVIL. I think that's how you pronounce it. I'll just increase the size here. So can you see it on the screen all right?
Yeah.
Cool. So basically, this allows you to go shopping for your next cheap Chinese cell phone, or your Chinese cell phone, as Matteo Doni likes to call it. And you see here, there's the Redmi Note 8 for $150. This is in US dollars. It doesn't do New Zealand dollars for some strange reason. I don't know why. But it gives you a lot of information on this phone. It tells you the specs up here. It gives you its ranking on price and quality. Shows you the reviews from the users. You've got the detailed specs here. It tells you what kind of screen it's got, how much it weighs, what the processor is, the battery size, what bands it operates in, the type of camera that it's got, the camera sensor. It's got some ads in there as well. Gives you all the technical specs. And what it does is allows you to go through and do comparisons, or to check or find a phone that suits you based on certain criteria. So, and you can even do tablets as well. You go into smartphones, you can go into, let's have a look for stuff that's on sale at the moment. Okay, so then just then you can apply filters. So you can set your price. So I only want to spend $300 or $320. I want it to be not a dog. And I want it to be a certain size. I want it to be over 5 inches. And then I want it to have a full HD screen. And then goes through, you can do whatever you like, and it gives you 1,099 results. It gives you a list of all the results and all the phones. If you spot a phone you want to buy, tells you where it takes you through to the links where they're available and what their prices are. I thought that was a really cool app for finding a phone that you want to buy, rather than just going into your next service provider and signing up for another $200 a month for a phone that is not really worth that much.
Yeah, very cool. And I will say, they do have a complete web page where, if you don't want the application, you can access it all via a web page. There's no doubt the app is probably easier to use. Yeah. If you go to KIMOVIL.com/EN.
Lincoln. It also does price tracking. So it shows you the history of the price and how far it's come in the last couple of weeks. It's a little graph at the top there, which I didn't show you, which I thought was quite cool.
Very cool. Yes, I will say, I love being able to get interfaces to where I can easily search, filter, and scan through devices just to see what is kind of competition is out there. I like this.
Yeah, it's great. I will definitely be using it for my next phone purchase. Except I won't be buying off AliExpress, which seems to have the most of the cheapest ones.
All right, and I will say, if you go into a store to buy a phone, it's literally, you might as well just call yourself a sadist, because you're getting ripped off.
Yep.
They have to pay for rent. They have to pay for insurance. They have to pay for electricity. They have to pay for insurance. They have to pay all the investors back again.
You pay minimum wage on the guy who's trying to sell you a phone you don't need.
Yeah. I don't want to say that there's no reason to walk into a store and buy a device, but there really is no reason to do that. And I'll say this, we're starting to see this pivot shift happening. Apple, I will say this, Apple just launched. They have their Apple Card, where through your device, through your subscription, you can apply for credit through Apple, which is actually Goldman Sachs, whatever. But now you can, through the application, say, I want to buy my next iPhone through here and pay for the next 2 years each month on it. This is the beginning. Mm-hmm. Okay. Once they have their phone on that payment plan, Apple Plus on that payment plan, Apple Music on that payment plan, and all these other things bundled into a service, we're going to start to see all these other companies start to do the very same thing, to where you will be able to go onto Google.com, get Google credit, which Google also announced they're going to do some kind of credit thing, and you'll be able to buy a Pixel device, pay on it through them directly for the next 2 years, but at the same time, you'll be able to get your Google Play Pass, you'll be able to get your YouTube Premium, maybe even your YouTube TV, and you'll be able to get all these other services bundled together. Everyone is going to be pushing really hard towards these bundles, subscription plans, very hard in the future, and they will be bundling Stadia in with it. I'm sure it's just a question of when and how much that's going to cost.
I guarantee it.
So it's just those kind of things to be aware of, because there will be a time where if you jump in on those payment plans, you won't be like losing out. You'll actually be okay when it comes to spending the amount of money and getting other things in return, is what I'll say.
It's almost like the reverse cord cutting, or, you know, it's like everybody wanted to do cord cutting to get away from packaged cable deals and things like that. And now it's going back towards like trying to find this bundle of everything to give one company all your money.
Yeah, it's like a backlash.
Yeah.
Yeah. I have like a little bit of app news. It's technically not an app though. And I want to first drag and drop that link there. And what it is longtime Android people who have been trying to like stay away from the Googleverse kind of thing. One of the things we used in the past was called K9 Mail. K9 Mail for like 2 years didn't get a lot of updates, and there was a lot of security vulnerabilities and a lot of exploits available on it. It was just announced 16 days ago that there is a new version of K9 Mail with not only a graphical redesign, but there's been a lot of security enhancements as well. So now, expect in the next 3 or 4 months for there to be a lot more apps coming out with new email features, because they all base their email off of K9 in the back end, and then they expand upon it. So I expect there to be a whole new plethora of email applications being launched here in the next like 5 to 6 months, thanks to this new K9 Mail revision. If you want to stay away from Gmail, if you want to stay away from Google Mail, if you do not like using Outlook.com, and you definitely don't like using YahooMail.com, you might want to check out K9 Mail, the new version, and see if it can meet your needs, is what I'll say.
The biggest telecom provider here in New Zealand did a partnership with Yahoo, and they ran all their customers' email through Yahoo service. So basically, they outsourced the email service to Yahoo. And to this day, every single one of those email addresses got absolutely owned. It was, you know, open, free to anybody. People, you know, to this day still have their old email addresses, sending out billions of spam emails every day. I have an old email address that's still sending out spam to all sorts of people. You know, it was the biggest mistake that telecoms company ever made. And just I stay well away from Yahoo.
How long ago was that?
That was around about 2000, 2001, okay, 2003, yeah. Something like that. Yeah, a long time ago.
Gotcha. One other app I want to mention, but I'll mention with an absolute, like, utter taste of disdain in my mouth, is Nintendo Animal Crossing Pocket Camp. Long story short, this app, Animal Crossing is, I don't even know how to explain it. It's like the Grand Theft Auto of peaceful gameplay, okay? You play Animal Crossing when you don't play shooters, you don't play fighters, you don't play RPGs, you don't play tactical combat games, you don't play simulators, you play Animal Crossing. It's what you play when you really want peace and harmony, okay? Well, Animal Crossing Pocket Camp has been actually a pretty successful Nintendo property, but it's really not Nintendo, it's really DNA, which is another company, but I digress. But they've been so quietly successful now over, I want to say, 2 years with this application. All of a sudden, they decided they're going to start charging a monthly subscription fee for people to get extra features and bonuses out of this game. It's going to cost about $3 a month to be part of this exclusive club. And there's enough people out there. Okay, look, you can make fun of any sporting thing in the world. You can make fun of boxing. You can make fun of MMA. You can make fun of tennis. You can make fun of baseball. You can make fun of Premier League. You can make fun of cricket. You can make fun of highlight. You can make fun of polo. You can make fun of water polo. You can make fun of anything you want. But guess what? They all make more money than you. Okay. You can make fun of Just Dance, the video game series. But guess what? It's actually the number one selling game franchise in the history of game sales. So go ahead and make fun of it, because they're making money. This Animal Crossing game, there's no doubt, is going to make so much flipping money. It's nearly insane. And they have a new Animal Crossing coming out on the Nintendo Switch, I want to say, in like 10 months. So this is literally just priming people to get ready to start to pay money nonstop for the rest of your life with video games. So if you are an Animal Crossing fan, I'm sorry. You might have to go get like a part-time job flipping burgers in order to feed your addiction.
Peace and harmony don't come cheap, mate.
Nope. And, the Beatles said the best things in life are free, but, you know, except for Animal Crossing.
Was that Ringo?
It probably was Ringo.
I've got an app. I always feel bad because you guys bring all these really nice apps that are useful.
It smells like a setup.
And,
We've got to balance out against your ones, you see. Yes.
I guess that's why we both joined at the same.
The show brings the best and the worst of the app store.
Yeah, you start at the top, I'll start at the bottom.
It's only one way to go.
This is called No Humanity, the Hardest Game, and it has 70,208 reviews, 4.5 average, 4.3 Android and up, last updated December 4th, 2019. And it is a very difficult game. And basically you are just a floating, I don't remember what you start out with, but you soon become a cloud. I think you start as a spaceship. And then the screen just becomes overwhelmed, convoluted with crossing lines, bombs coming through, and then just random shadow creatures and just a hand that comes down on the screen, and basically you have to avoid all of that without perishing. I think I played it for a bit, and I think I lasted 16 seconds was it. So it's pretty stupid, but it can be kind of fun for a couple minutes.
Hard, is it? It's difficult.
It's pretty hard. It's very difficult. It's the hardest game according to the So that's what Telekinetic Cat left his review that says, "This is probably the most critical review I'll ever make. This game is the hardest game, but in a way that is unfair and luck-based." That's about it, yeah. I don't know that it... I'm not sure how you'd become good at this game, but if...
So you're saying it's kind of like life?
I was just about to say that.
It's unfair?
Yeah, exactly. It's the game of life. Yeah, it's the game of life is what this is.
Well, I'll just say, like, quick 5-second tangent. The most realistic game there ever has been Tetris, because it is like life, because it forces you to make bad decisions, and then you spend the rest of the game trying to just deal with those bad decisions. But I digress.
Like my first marriage.
Alrighty. Wow. We are now changing the topic. Okay, this app I'm going to bring, it really is nothing more than a publicity application. Okay, I have to put that out there. Okay, it's called Amico, A-M-I-C-O, A-M-I-C-O Club by Intellivision Amico is what they call it. Amico Entertainment. E for everyone. No in-app ads, no in-app purchases, because basically it's an ad unto itself. Okay, 48 reviews, 4.6 average reviews. Updated December 6, 2019, 25 megs in size, 1,000 plus installs, current version 1.2, 5.0 Android and up, content rating E for everyone, mild fantasy violence, permissions, you really shouldn't need a lot, camera and network access, that's it. Long and the short of it is, if you've never heard of Intellivision, then we have to sit down and talk for a while, okay? Intellivision was a classic game console that came out in, I want to say, 84. Or so. Okay. Amico, they can't use the name Intellivision, so they're using the name Amico. They're basically going to come out, they believe, by the end of 2020 with a whole new console based upon the original Intellivision, and they're going to have a bunch of Intellivision classic games on it. And they're literally propositioning classic game developers to come and put classic type games on the system. This is a application that's going to help facilitate the news aggregation of this new system. They expect it to launch 10/10/2020, which, you know, that kind of fits 10/10/2020. This is one of the classic game consoles that I was truly infatuated with as a kid. Some of the games I thought were just some of the best games I ever played. Some of the games I put in the Intellivision, I thought, what in the hell were they thinking? But I am going to have this installed, and I do keep up on the news just to see what their propositioning is being their game console. And here's the gimmick. The old console, basically, I hate to say it like this, the controller was almost like a phone. At the bottom, you had a disc where, like, it could be like the mouthpiece. And at the top, it had 12 buttons, 3 across, 4 down, just like a phone pad. And it had 2 buttons on each side, just like the volume rockers. Okay. They envisioned the next generation one to be basically a phone. Okay. Where at the bottom, you have your touch-sensitive circle. At the top, you have your screen. They have the buttons where you can turn the whole thing sideways or upside down or whatever and use it like a controller. I am telling people right now, if you're a fan of classic gaming, I truly believe this console has a very good opportunity to be a very good nostalgia trip for classic games. I don't know if they're going to pull it off or not, but I think they definitely have a chance.
It was actually released by Mattel in 1979.
Oh. 79, there you go.
Yeah, so it was, the development began in 1977, which was the same year's introduction of the Atari 2600. And so, you know what, Dor? I don't know that I've ever played in Intellivision. Our family was an Atari 2600 family.
Well, I'll say this. My wife was born in 1977, okay? So it's an important year to me. We only had an Intellivision because my dad was a flea marketer, and we had an extra one laying around, and I literally, like, stole it from him one day and put it in the room, and it took him a couple weeks to realize it, and then he didn't care. And then I would go and literally, like, find games among the flea market and barter for them and trade for them. I would literally do work for games. And one of the games I had was Tron Deadly Disc. And in Tron Deadly Disc, I was able to get more than 4 million points in the game. And it took me like 8 hours of not dying and playing to get that score. And then a couple weeks ago, I watched this disgusting fat slob on YouTube get 6 million points in like a half an hour. And it just completely destroyed my childhood.
Yes, because this is for those youngins out there. There was no save capability on these game systems. It's a one shot. You go until you're dead, and then you start over.
There's a really good YouTube channel called The 8-Bit Guy. I don't know if you've seen it, Dor. He basically goes around restoring old computer systems like that we had back in the 70s and the 80s. He plays old games on them and stuff. He showed me showed one where he had Doom on VIC 20, and he had that machine had. It's amazing when you compare to today the capabilities of the computers in homes today compared to what they started out with back in the 80s, in the early 80s. You know, the VIC 20, which was my first computer, had 5K RAM, but two and a half of that was used up for the system memory. So you had 3.5K of RAM to use. And such a thing today is just unthinkable.
Well, we have such gross excess of RAM, such a gross excess of processor, such a gross excess of storage, such a gross excess of bus speed, such a gross excess of sensory input into computers, that if we had that available to us back in the 70s and 80s, we wouldn't know what to do with
exactly.
it.
Well, we would be like the youth of today, basically. So I'm pretty glad that didn't happen back then.
Just the machine I'm on now, it's 32 gigabytes of RAM. It's like a million times more than I had back in 1984.
A quick side note before we get to the next app. And it is a article over at itfalse.com, which, you know, I'm a nerd. I like false. Google is doing everything in their power. They're like fighting tooth and nail. They don't fight tooth and nail for nothing. Okay, they're stinking rich, but they're fighting tooth and nail to get Android support, driver support, back into the original Linux kernel mainline is what they call it. I don't think it's going to happen. I have no problem saying that out loud. But there, so what this is, it's basically Android and Google trying to relinquish some semblance of control of Android kernel back to Linux. If they do that, it's basically them admonishing that they don't want to take care of this anymore, and they would appreciate it if somebody else would. And if somebody else does take care of it, that means the original base hardware for Android should shoot down in price even further, but it should also become easier to program against. But all indication is the Linux Foundation will not accept this code base back into the kernel. Time will tell if I'm right or wrong. To me, it's just one of those interesting things that we'll have to wait and see if anything actually comes out of it. With Chromium taking over the world, Chrome OS being the number one selling tablet everywhere, with Android devices completely outselling everything, iOS and everything, it's going to like keep trying to do whatever it can do to be the code base, but I don't know if they're going to have success with this.
Well, and Google's working on Fuchsia as well. I mean, is that still a thing? So I'd imagine it's, kick this aside and move on. And just for clarification for those people out there that aren't huge nerds, FOSS is FOSS, which stands for Free Open Source Software.
Right. I have at least a couple more apps I want to talk about. The first one I want to bring up, to me, it was just interesting. We all, at least at some point in our life, we like to do gamification of our life. We like to keep track of things. We like to know how, like, you know, busy we are, how good we're doing with things. This one was one of the apps I found on, I believe it was reddit.com/Android apps, just called Track and Graph by Sam Amico. E for everyone, no in-app ads, no in-app purchases, literally 7 reviews, 4.6 average reviews, updated December 6, 2019, 3.8 megs in size, 100 plus installs, current version 1.2.3, requires 4.4 Android MUP content rating, E for everyone, permissions, it does need photo and media and storage because that's what it does. This is an app where basically you can launch it and you can keep track of anything. You can keep track of like how bad your traffic is in the morning. You can keep track of how long you brush your teeth. You can keep track of how many calories you eat every day. You can keep track of the size of your stool if that's something you want to do. I'm just saying.
Do.
This is basically an app that will allow you to monitor, track, and graph anything.
I thought everybody did that.
Okay.
It's a matter of whether it's grams or ounces, I guess.
Yeah. Or cubic if you're feet. Doing centimeters or I don't know. So if you need to track the results of something and do analytics over time or graph the output of it. I'm not going to sound stupid. This is a fantastic app that is completely free with no in-app ads, no in-app purchases. If you want to literally do analytics of any sort of data, I heavily encourage you to actually get this app, check it out. Not many people are using the app. So if you contacted the developer, I'm pretty sure you have their ear, like, you know, exclusively.
Yeah, I saw this on the Reddit forum as well, and I was quite interested in it. I've used another similar one before, and I gave the feedback that he's going to need, if he wants people to use it on a regular basis, it needs some way to set a reminder to get people to track stuff that they want to track. So if he could set up some way to set up a notification on Shade that says, or a function where the user is able to say, every hour I want you to remind me to record this, it should actually work a lot better.
Do any phones have smell sensors? Because that could be a trigger. Oh, you might want to measure that.
Not that I'm aware of. But, you know, third-party hardware could come in and fix that solution.
Well, hang on, you could do a geolocation with IFTTT so that you could center it on your toilet. And so every time you go in and out of the toilet, you weigh on a Bluetooth, weigh yourself on a Bluetooth scale, and then that would automatically be updated to the app. And you could automatically, so you weigh yourself before you go in, weigh yourself before you go, and when you go out. And the difference is the measurement that you want to take.
I think you should get in touch with the developers.
Yeah. It was your idea.
Yeah. Yeah. And then here's a follow-up app to that. And what I'll say is if you don't need statistical, analytical type of data, you literally just want to count something, this is a much more simplified version of the same app where all you're doing is counting things, okay? It's literally called Thing Counter, THING space counter, okay? Hear me out. It's by Karuma. It's under Tools, E for Everyone. Again, completely free, no in-app ads, no in-app purchases. And I really want to take listeners down a little side path. Listen to other Android podcasts. When they mention an app, do they tell you if it has in-app ads and do they tell you if it has in-app purchases? And I'm going to tell you right now, no, they don't. You know why? Because you're listening to scummy people pushing scummy products down your throat because, you know, they like money. I have no problem telling you. The person who's doing this kind of product is doing it out of passion. They're not doing it out of money. Okay. 10,000 reviews. Okay. No in-app ads, no in-app purchases, completely free to download. 4.8 average reviews, updated September 10th, 2015. Why? Because you don't need to update something that just counts things, people. 1.9 megs in size, 500,000 installs, 500,000 installs, current version 1.6. You only need 2.2 Android and up. Do you know when 2.2 Android came out? It's around 2012.
Yeah. It's
okay.
I was going to say 1984.
Content rating. All right. Content rating, of course, E for Everyone. Access. The only thing it needs access to is to control vibrations on your phone. That's it. If you literally just need a standalone application to just count things, A, download this app. B, contact the developer. C, give them some money. Okay? Because this, I'll tell you right now, is an unbelievably clean, simple app that does a fantastic job of counting things. Because that's all it's supposed to do, is count things.
Is it an abacus?
And, well, here's the best thing. It's 5G compatible. So that should make some people happy. So that should, like, that should get some clicks, right?
So you can count fast.
And it's on the blockchain. With like, it's on the blockchain.
It's on the blockchain. It has near zero lag. It's using Department of Defense grade encryption.
It's local.
It's 5G compatible.
It's organic.
It is locally sourced. Small batched, organically grown.
This might be the application. This must be the best app ever. And it says on here, this is for you, Ivor. It says, you want to count kisses, sheep, cigarettes, laps, points, sheep, or anything else? This
there
app
you go,
is for
with the
you.
Sheep again. Hey, Josh.
You knew it was coming.
I'm
what
just
comes
reading
after
what it says.
One? What comes after one?
Hold on. Let me download this and let me install this app and I'll let you know.
Because I've got more than one sheep out there and I don't know how many I've got.
I've got an app for you. You have any more apps, Ivor?
Yes, I do. Now, I don't know about you, but like most people, I really like to spend my time looking at albino midget porn on the webcam. And trying to find albino midget webcam porn is really, really difficult. And so what I was doing one day, I came across a webcam application that didn't have any albino midget porn, but it did have live webcams. So this app is called Live Earth Cam, Live Beach City and Nature Webcams.
I'm afraid to click this link. I will.
don't tell me you haven't been down the rabbit hole of albino midget porn on the webcam. All right, maybe you will tell me that.
I don't know. I feel like I'm going to get arrested here. Just for being in your presence.
I keep thinking it's like all of a sudden it's going to go to like a nude beach or something.
I don't know. I've shared my screen here. I'll just figure out what it looks like. So this is what you get. There's a lot of American ones. And you see it's just got a little ad at the top, which is fairly unobtrusive. So that's pretty good. You've got European ones. Not so many European ones. But it does YouTube cameras as well. So the ones that are available on YouTube, or it goes to IP cameras. If you want to have a look at, let's have a look at this one in France. There's the Eiffel Tower. We can have a look at that. And there it is, the Eiffel Tower, as we live and breathe. I don't know what, oh, it's because it's dark over there today, right now.
Very ominous.
Yeah. And I just thought this was. I spent a bit of time just going through different. We see what we've got in Maryland, shall we?
Okay.
Washington, you're.
Wave, you're going to probably see a lot of crime.
Wave door.
Baltimore Inner Harbor Cam. How's that? There you go. It's Baltimore right now.
Hey. Thank God it's far away. That's all I got to say. Or else you'll see a lot of trash.
Hey, do Vancouver Island next. Do Vancouver Island next.
Where's that?
I just want to see if you can find it.
Is it in Alaska?
Just north of Seattle. Big this, island this there. One, yeah, there's Victoria. You see Victoria?
I have actually been to Vancouver, but no, there's no no weekend. So there's one here.
Oh, right there.
Point underwater. Oh yeah, they've underwater ones as well.
This is intriguing listening, I'm sure.
maybe the internet in Vancouver Island's not so great.
It looks like a loading screen.
It certainly is.
They have a loading screen underwater in Vancouver.
No, it's just what it looks like.
Anyway, yeah, it's
cool. That is a pretty cool app.
Yeah.
Minus your intro to it, it's very nice.
Well, serendipitous. I found this when I was looking for something else.
Yeah, I think I saw that tab open on your browser there when you were sharing your screen. Okay. This one, I'm going to bring an app to. I have no musical talent whatsoever, but I would like to have some. And so I toyed around with this app a little bit called Simply Piano by Joy Tunes. It has 217,000 plus reviews, 4.4 average reviews. 6 megs, 10 million plus installs, requires Android 5 and up, so it's complicated than a counting app, I guess. Current version's 4.0.7. And I found it to be a good, I've only used it for a little bit, but I found it to be very intuitive, and even a Luddite like myself could follow the initial introduction to how to even put your hands on a piano, what the certain keys were, and basically play along with the app, and it kind of demonstrates where your fingers are supposed to go and what the notes mean and blah 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 blah, all the other stuff that every single other person in the world probably knows except me.
I'll just say this: the thing that I find fascinating about this app is you can literally put it like on your piano and launch the app, and it will listen to you playing a piano and provide you with real-time feedback. I don't think there's a better way to learn such a thing like a piano interactively is like the best way. So you instantly know when you hit that key, is it the right key or not? And if you watch the video, you had me at We Are the Champions. If this thing can help me play Queen on a piano, I'm almost willing to buy a piano just for that.
Yeah, right. Yeah, well, we purchased a piano shortly after we bought this house. There was just a spot that was perfect for a piano, and we found one at a yard sale that they basically gave to us. And so we've had it here, and we sit and pound on it, and the kid likes to hammer the keys sometimes, but nobody really knows how to play. So,
well, I'll say again, completely tangent. The wife dragged me out of the house, and we went and saw the Mr. Rogers movie with Tom Hanks. It's not a movie about Mr. Rogers. It's a movie about a guy who was tasked to interview Mr. Rogers back in like 98. And one of the things that they highlight, very like quietly highlight, is the fact that Mr. Rogers would go home, and in his living room, him and his wife had dual pianos, and they would literally spend like an hour plus a day just sitting there playing pianos with each other. I'll just say this. When I was a kid, would not sit and watch anything Mr. Rogers. Knowing what I know about Mr. Rogers today, if he was sitting next to me, we wouldn't be friends. There's nothing I have in common with that man at all. But I unbelievably respect everything he did. I unbelievably respect his dedication. And the man could play a piano. And what I didn't know was every single bit of music in every single episode of Mr. Rogers, he choreographed, he wrote, and if he could, he performed every bit of music in that show. That's dedication. It's hard to discount someone's passion for dedication. And that's the example I give with Mr. Rogers. He was such a nice guy. He met Eddie Murphy doing Mr. Robinson's Neighborhood and said, like, he was blessed to have such a man of such talent, like, do such a thing in honor of his content. Who the hell would do that? Nobody except Mr. Rogers.
So would you say that you probably wouldn't be friends with him because he's from an area where him and his wife play dueling pianos, and you're from an area where you and your wife do dueling banjos?
No, because he's from Pittsburgh, and Pittsburgh is a bunch of dirty people, as far as I'm concerned. A bunch of dirty steel workers who can, you know, who just stink horribly kind of thing. And they're not very ethical, and they're not very moral, in my experience. And he is unbelievably religious. And I love poking people who are extremely religious because it's so easy to do. So I don't think he would like me. Don't get me wrong. He would have been really patient with me, but he wouldn't have won me over.
Is he the guy who said a stranger is a friend I haven't met yet?
Yes. Right. Yeah. Yes.
I think that rule would fall apart when he meets you.
He would definitely question a lot. I will say that. Yeah.
Hey, so.
But it was a great movie. It was a great movie. And then I did go back and watch the documentary about him on HBO. And what I loved was more than a couple of the real people from the real show who worked on the real studio were in this movie as extras. And it just added to the movie, made it even better. And here's the thing. In that movie, nobody in the universe can pull off saying, can we have 60 seconds of silence while we stop and we think about the people who love us and actually sit there for 60 seconds and not move a muscle and not make a sound? Tom Hanks can do it. Nobody else can. Vin Diesel can't do that. You know what I mean? Nobody else can. Tom Hanks can. If Tom Hanks ran for office, I'd vote for him. I'm just saying.
So just going back to the app for a second.
Hey, get out of here, Ivor. We're talking about other stuff.
I have no idea who this guy is. We never got his stuff here. So. Anyway, sounds like the Dalai Lama. The app for the piano app, was it free? Or did you have to pay a subscription?
No, it was free.
Oh, okay, because I saw something. I was trying to find something similar for the guitar because I've been playing the guitar a bit, and Fender had an app which would take you through, but you had to pay like $20 a month. Rough. Yeah, if I could find.
Did you click the link? Or does it say anything about price? Did you click that link?
It says free. Yeah, other offers in-app purchases. First review says worth every cent, though. Obviously, you have to spend some money on it.
I definitely did not get to that point. So I would recommend trying it and getting to the point where you need to pay. And then by that time, maybe you are playing Queen.
Well, a good sign is when you go through the app and you click visit the website and you go to the website, there's no obvious link named pricing. Typically, when a company puts that model as being the way that they, you know, get everything, they'll have like a pricing model.
It says in-app products.
At least a little bit up front.
$13.49 to $149 per item. So that's $9.
50 cents to a dollar. Yeah.
Yeah, obviously there's capacity to spend some money. But
well.
I wonder if they
I mean, I would say most companies always give you the every opportunity to spend money.
Oh, of course. Oh, I was just checking out their other apps. They don't seem to have another app for guitar.
Well, there's one that I used a long time ago called Musician.
Oh, yeah, I've heard of that.
Yeah, I used that, I think, for guitar, but as everyone already knows, I'm a derelict and didn't learn that either. I'll put that in the chat, though, Ivor.
Was your beard gotten away?
Yeah, this is true.
Okay, I'm going to bring another app, and it's purposefully tangentially controversial. Long story short. The United States federal government awarded a contract called JEDI, Joint Initiative Defense Infrastructure, which is a $10 billion contract that they just awarded to Microsoft. And the reason they didn't award it to another company was because they didn't deserve it. Microsoft, while I hate them with a passion, have been innovating. They've been doing a lot of stuff on cloud infrastructure where a lot of other companies have not been innovating a lot. The example I use is Amazon. Amazon 4 or 5 years ago was ahead of everybody in everything cloud, and then they basically didn't innovate a lot. Well, if you want to get a job right now using cloud infrastructure, it's really easy to get a job doing AWS, Amazon Web Services kind of things. But you really need to be certified. You really need to pass the test to be to get your foot in that job to do Amazon Web cloud hosting type of jobs. And here's a good app I found to help you through that testing process. It's called, here we go, Demandtech, because I don't know how to pronounce it, AWS Cloud Practical Exam Prep. Just follow the link in the notes, because here's what I'll say. It's very obvious these people paid for the test, copied all the answers, and put it in an application. And Amazon, while they're very successful, and they make billions of dollars, they're incredibly slow to change their test. So you can download this app and you will have every answer to every Amazon test for like the next 8 to 10 months. I encourage everyone, if you want to get your foot in the door being certified as a Amazon AWS cloud expert, download this app, practice it, go pay the money, take the test, pass the test, and then go get a job. This app will definitely help you do it. It's E for Everyone. Does contain ads, completely free to download, no in-app purchases. Updated December 10th, 2019, 1.1 meg in size, 50 installs, current version 1.3, 4.1 Android and up, content rating, E for Everyone. Permissions, it basically needs nothing. It just needs permissions to run. If you are looking to change jobs and your job is, you're looking for is the Amazon AWS cloud expert, this is definitely a good first step to get your foot in the door.
They certainly spared no expense on their icon.
Exactly. Well, I'll just put it like this. When I walk into an establishment and I'm getting food and I can see their floor isn't spotless and their walls aren't spotless and the guy behind the counter doesn't look like he cares a lot, I know I could be in for the best food I've had in months because they're not spending money on detergent. They're not spending money on cleaners. They're not spending money on propaganda. They're not spending money on menus. They're not spending money on atmospheres. They're not spending money on uniforms. They're spending money on food. So I literally played with this for more than a couple hours. I know two people who are Amazon AWS certified techs. I showed them all the questions and all the answers, and they all said the same thing. Where the hell was this when I took the test?
I think it's pronounced Jamgartech. J is pronounced with just a J. Jam.
Okay.
So whatever that means, I have no idea.
I'll bow to your expertise.
Such as it is.
Cool. It looks like the first review might be the actual developer.
Wouldn't shock me.
Excellent user interface. Valuable questions and answers to help prepare for the AWS Cloud Practitioner Exam.
And I'll just throw this out there because this is the kind of thing you basically have to if you're a Android app type show for a decade. We Android users who use Craigslist have been looking for an application to do what we need to do. And there has been no official Craigslist app forever. Okay. Well, now, December 2019, literally a decade late, they're coming out with an Android app. And let me tell you right now, people are flame baiting this thing to the nth degree because there's no way this app could ever meet people's expectations. With that stated, it's only the beginning. I really hope Craigslist keeps updating the app, keeps improving the app, keeps making the app better, and actually listens to people, because Craigslist is still an incredible opportunity for local entrepreneurs to make a friggin' killing, okay? But, you know, they need the right app and then the right ecosystem in order to do it, or else it's going to be, like, really difficult for them to do anything. And I did download this. I did play with it. It's a good first step. It's years late. It's years behind. But it's a good first step. I really hope in the next couple weeks, the next couple months, they innovate, they rev it, and they keep doing that. And then hopefully by the end of, like, 2020, it's like a true modern type application to where you can literally search for anything, whether it be an laptop, a lawnmower, or a 3D printer, or a service. I need my lawn cut. And you'll be able to go to this one app and find hyper local services and products and to fit your needs. Because the thing I love about Craigslist is it's been a tremendous disruptor in businesses. It's been a tremendous disruptor as far as, like, Walmart and Target and these big ecosystems are concerned. But they need a better app. I will say that.
This might be
people
the,
still
Sorry, you go, Josh.
Do people still use Craigslist, or?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
The usage on Craigslist actually has not went down. It slowly keep going up. The difference being is they've literally spent a lot of time in the last, like, 10 years trying to weed out bots, trying to weed out nefarious people. I'm not going to say they've been successful. They've been okay with that. If you know what you're looking for, if you know how to search, if you know how to post, you can actually get some pretty good things.
Can you answer a mystery for me, you guys? Can you help me with a question I have about American pronunciation? C-R-A-I-G. How do you pronounce that in your world?
The same way the British people did about 180 years ago. Craig.
Craig.
And in Canada, it's Craig, eh?
Craig, eh? Because here it's pronounced Craig. So when people say Craigslist, I'm going, what the hell's Craigslist when it's spelled Craigslist? We would say Craigslist here and in the UK probably. And how would you pronounce the word solder?
Solder.
That to me is one of the ones that I never understood.
Yeah.
Solder, 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 solder.
What the hell's with the solder thing? Solder is a lump of dirt.
Yeah. Or the person that puts the grass in, he's a solder.
Exactly. Yeah. Anyway, that's my two cents.
Anyway. That was about 3 cents.
Do they have albino midget webcam porn on Craigslist?
They have everything on Craigslist.
Cool. That's what I've been missing.
It doesn't matter what you're looking for. It either is on Craigslist or it's your perfect opportunity to put it on Craigslist.
All right, Ivor, as much as this scares me, do you have one more app to round out the evening of apps?
I think I do.
You can pass. It's fair to pass.
Oh, yeah. This one here. It's called Stokey or Stocky, HD stock wallpapers. I'll just put it in the chat.
Okay. As long as it's not S-T-A-L-K-E-Y.
Stokey, S-T-O-K-I-E. If you're into wallpapers, if you're into customizing your phone in its wallpapers, this one basically has all the stock wallpapers from almost every single Android phone out there. It's got Oppo, it's got Xiaomi, it's got all the main ones, it's got Samsung, it's got Apple's, it's got a whole lot. So basically you can just download your app from your wallpapers from this one, and then use whatever app you like to cycle or just leave it on your favorite one and change it manually if you want to later on. I thought it's free. It's there's no charge for it, and you can download at will regardless, and you get a huge range of really nice wallpapers that you can use on your phone.
Cool. That was very G-rated, and we're back to a family show.
Wait, I will say I'm still using. And here's the thing, I don't even know why I'm still using AIO launcher, means I have no use for a wallpaper. Mm. But I don't know why I'm still using the app, except it still works. Is what I'll say.
What I do is
I wish I had more of a use.
Yeah, I download the wallpapers I like, and I use another application called Tapet, T-A-P-E-T, to automatically switch them around every 15 minutes. So I get a constant stream of nice wallpapers.
Should try to do that app you had earlier, the Live Earth Cam.
Oh, yeah. And
swap those out every once in a while.
Yeah, I wonder if there's probably something out there like that. Perhaps I could find it on Craigslist.
It might be FOSS. Okay, we've been going for about 3 days now. So
I was clean shaven when we started.
And good looking. the apps that we had tonight are very difficult to pronounce, apparently. Kimoval by Kimoval. No Humanity, The Hardest Game by Sweaty Chair Studio. Amico Club by Intellivision Amico. Track and Graph by Samco. Thing Counter by Karuma. Live Earth Cam by Live Cam Satellite View App Studio. Simply Piano by Joy Tunes. Oh boy. Jamgatech, AWS Cloud Practitioner Exam Prep by Etienne D. Newman. Craigslist by Craigslist. Stokey by 367 Labs. And that's for you, Mark. 10.
Very cool. The one thing I'll add is December 12th is when we're streaming right now. December 9th. I did basically a 4-hour stream. It was entitled on YouTube DDG Testing and Something. Where amongst what I did was I went through Google Play Pass. I went through every single application and game available from the premium subscription service called Google Play Pass. The long and the short of it is a huge amount of the games are complete and utter crap. A huge amount of the apps are completely worthless and janky. If you haven't already bought things like Stardew Valley, which did win Independent Game of the Year on Google services and on Steam, it won another award. If you haven't bought games like that, if you haven't bought applications like Universal Remote, then to be honest, the Google Play Pass might be a really good investment for you. Right now, if you get in on board, you can pay $2 a month for the first year. So it's $24 for the first year. You get unlimited access to everything in Google Play Pass, including every in-app purchase. The one thing I did was I played a game called Drive Simulator for at least 3 hours of that 4 hours. And in the in-app purchases, you can literally just say, this normally costs $50. Click, give it to me for free. And that's what I kept doing. I will say, it's just like anything else. There's a certain amount of marketing going on. There is some value you can get out of it. It might not be a tremendous value for everyone out there, but if you are at all interested in it, I encourage you to at least check out that stream. And I will say this again. If you never buy games, if you never buy apps, this might be a really good value. It's worth checking out. I'll say that. I'm not going to say it's a great value for everybody. It is interesting. I will say that. Yeah, it was called DDG26 Testing Some Stuff. Thank you very much for Red in the YouTube chat for letting me know that.
And just for everyone's knowledge, Red is a one percenter. He grew up with an Intellivision, an Atari 2600, and Coleco.
I was going to say, he's a hardworking, working man. When I think one percenter, I think elitist,
I don't know how else you could have all three of those gaming systems, door, unless you're a one percenter.
Touche. Ivor, do you have any like parting words?
Yes, I'd just like to thank my brother for sending me a fez. I would have worn it for the show, but I can't fit it over my head for the headphones. But I don't know why he sent me this, other than the fact that about 3 years ago I mentioned to him that I fancy a fez, but I can't find one anywhere. So I guess he looked on Craigslist and got one for me. So thanks, Eric.
I like fezes. Josh, you have any words?
Keep sending feedback. Send the emails. Go to the Reddit subreddit. And as Mr. Rogers would say, take time to think about the people that love you.
Yeah, and I'll just say, tangent, this is the time of year. With age, I'm becoming a little bit more harsh, a little bit more direct, a little bit more in your face. And I'll just say it like this. This is the death time of year. Many people have a very hard time this time of year, whether it be because of cold, whether because of illness, whether because of loneliness, whether because of depression, whether because of a addiction. This is the time of year where I beg everyone, take at least a couple minutes out of every couple days and talk to somebody you have not talked to in a while. Let them know you're there. Let them know you care about them and just keep that moving forward. Again, if anybody out there, whether it's Josh, whether it's Ivor, whether it's Red, whether it's Charles in the chat, whether it's anybody else who comes out live, or whether it's somebody literally in Afghanistan listening to this, if you need to talk to somebody and there's nobody who you trust who you can talk to, 443-640-8960 is my phone number. We all are in this together. We all are family. There is no tribalism when it comes to pod nuts. There is no us versus them when it comes to podcasting. We're all in this together. Without everybody supporting everybody, we're all by ourselves. I love everybody. I thank everyone for their support. I thank everyone for their downloads. I thank everyone for their support. I thank everyone for their emails. I'm sorry we haven't got to all the emails. We have a habit of jabbering on. We miss emails from time to time. But thank you, everyone, for sending in emails. Thanks, everyone, for sending in support. Thanks, everyone, for joining Discord. Thanks, everyone, for joining Mattermost. Thanks, everyone, for sending voicemails at 7076podnut. Thanks, everyone, for sending emails at aaa@podnut.com. Thank everyone for participating in this thing we call podcast. We will again be on, hopefully, before the end of the year. And we might have some predictions. We might have some revelations to partake in. But no matter what, I thank everyone again, and we will talk to everyone again real soon.
Yeah.
You know. Hi, this is Matt from the MRP Tech Podcast. I would like to invite you all to take a listen to my show, the MRP Tech Podcast, on the Podnuts Network. The theme for my show is Everyday Tech for Everyday People. We talk about Windows, Mac, Linux, iOS, Android, Chrome OS, and anything else technology related. You can find us on iTunes, and you can find us by searching in any podcatcher. We hope you take a listen and let us know what you think.
Music provided by Steve Cherubino at stevecherubino.com.